Hey everybody, welcome to the Linux Cast. I'm your host Matthew, and I'm joined by Martin.
Good evening, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm using Windows. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, it's horrible. So I bought a audio interface. It's a Scarlett Solo something or the other, in order to use. So about maybe 5 years ago, I bought this like $400 microphone.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I haven't been able to use it because I don't have like, because it's like, it only works with XLR and stuff. So,
Oh, right.
So I had to buy an audio interface and it doesn't work with Linux all that much. So that's going to be something I'm going to be troubleshooting in the next week. Anyway, so, Martin, how are you doing this week?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Matt. How was your Thanksgiving, by the way?
It was
different, I'm guessing.
Yes, without all the family around, it was definitely different. But me and my mom and dad, we managed to, you know, we cooked a ham and just had a little family get together. It was fine, you know, nothing normal. You guys do you guys do Thanksgiving in the UK? I don't even know.
No,
I didn't
no,
think
we
so.
Don't.
You guys are a bunch of thankless people over there, you know. Obviously, I'm kidding. UK people are they're just lovely people. I like making fun of people. It's all right.
No, we make the big deal in Christmas. To be fair, we have Easter as well, but not really. We get together. Our main holidays really Christmas.
Yeah, you guys are probably the smart ones. Canada does their Thanksgiving like a month early, which is confusing.
Yeah.
I think that they do it a month early just so that they can do Christmas earlier than the rest of us. But that's just my opinion. So, what have you been doing on Linux? Because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been recording. So, what have you been doing on Linux lately?
Yeah, not a great deal on Linux. I was in the depths of eBay and I saw a couple of Linux format magazine, which I've started my subscription when back in March. It's a really good magazine. Tells you all the info that you actually need, no filler, and you get a DVD with it to try out. Quite archaic, but so I'd won 24 magazines off this guy, and it was £8 postage and packaging, so he's combining them. So I missed out on some other auctions. It messaged him and bring the story to a close. I've ended up with 82 issues and about 75 discs spanning 2010 to 2019.
Oh, cool.
So I've got a hell of a lot of reading, but it's a really good magazine. I think you can have it. You can subscribe to it in the USA. I think obviously you'll pay a fair bit of tax. But it's a really good magazine, covers everything. Linux related, I've spun up Ferron OS to give that a look. So far, it's nice and clean distro, quite impressed. Just need a bit more time to it to draw any conclusions, stroke distro hop. KDE desktop, like I said, nice clean interface. Yeah, quite happy. Maybe it will be a daily. I'm quite happy with KDE Neon, but yeah, I'm always looking to find the perfect one, but I'm more than happy with KDE Neon, to be fair. But yeah, just something different to look at. You know what we like.
Is Ferron based on Ubuntu?
I think so. Yes, for the KDE desktop.
Mm.
Yeah.
I used Ubuntu in like a virtual machine this last week, so you should be proud of me. I missed the AUR immediately.
Did you? She went straight back onto the command line and dropped a few
What's this PPA nonsense? It's horrible.
And flat
like I was trying to
everything.
Install because I'm going to do a video about note taking apps, and the one of them that I'm going to cover is Joplin, and it's broken on Arch. The Arch package, it just won't launch. So I had to get sign into the Groovy Gorilla and install it through there. It was a snap package. I was like, oh, it's a snap package. I haven't used snap in ages. It's so adorable. So personally, I've been messing around with a new window manager called DWM. It's made by the Suckless guys, and very, very minimal out of the box and very, very complicated. It was a pain in the rear end to get set up. But I'm really very proud of how well I've done with it, because I don't know any C programming language at all. And this is this is all configured in C, so I've done quite a bit of learning in C the last couple of weeks.
So I'm guessing that's kept you quite busy, yeah?
Yeah, it has. It's nice, because I like, you know, I've pretty much stopped distro hopping, so I just stick on Arco or Arch. But I like switching back and forth between the window managers, because it gives me something new to look at. So DWM is what I've been doing there, and then I've been trying to go browser agnostic with my bookmarks, basically to use either Rofi or Dmenu in order to like access like a bookmarks file or whatever. So I can, when I switch between browsers, I just have to, you know, press a key binding and do that. And I finally found something called Buku that basically has a Dmenu script where it will let me save all my bookmarks and stuff, and then I can just, you know, press a key binding, type in a few letters of whatever the title of the bookmark is, and I can go there, and it will just open up in whatever default browser I have set at the time. So I'm actually quite proud of that as well. So I've been geeking out on stuff like that.
Yeah, the only bookmark I've, because I use Firefox currently, I've noticed if you right-click on Firefox and click on Pin Tab, I've never ever pinned tabs before. Otherwise, I obviously keep my bookmarks relatively tidy in a decent order. But the Pin Tab option's quite good. Just puts it to sleep in the corner and just show you any notifications if you've got any. So that's quite good, just to leave it there. Not really using a lot of memory or anything, but yeah, that's about the most I've done with bookmarks recently.
Yeah, I do some. I usually have like three pinned. I always keep TweetDeck pinned over there so I can go there. I don't spend as much time on Twitter as I used to. All right. Anyways, so let's go ahead and jump into the contact information. If you want to give us I was gonna say give us a ring, but this isn't the 1990s where we use phones. If you want to contact us or get a hold of us or follow us or whatever, you can do so on Twitter at the LinuxCast is the main email. Or main Twitter account. Basically, that just tweets out about new episodes. Every once in a while, I'll retweet something from, you know, 9to5 Linux or something. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at MTWB. Martin's Martin Twit to you. You can find these links in the show note. You can subscribe to all of our podcast feeds and such at thelinuxcast.org. That just transfers you over to our anchor page. You can also contact us via email if you're, you know, still use email. thelinuxcast@gmail.com, and you can also like us on Facebook for people who use Facebook, facebook.com/Linux. You know, I derided everybody who uses every platform in that. I was like, if you use Twitter, you can do this. I mean, who uses Twitter anymore? If you want to use email, I mean, come on, what are you, 50 years old? It's horrible. If you want to subscribe to us on YouTube, you can also do that at the link in the show notes. We don't have a pretty URL for that yet because we don't have enough subscribers, so make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, because I've been doing a video every day. We also post the podcast there almost immediately after we record it, so definitely a lot of good stuff there. So the first things on the agenda are two news links that we share. Now, interestingly enough, I just made a video about my first one. So, Martin, why don't you do the do yours first, your first link?
Yeah, no problem. Linux on Apple M1. Let's face it, we all like the actual, whether you don't, Apple architecture and the smooth lines and the way they present battery life and things like that. But a guy called Hector Martin, also known as Markan, has recently launched a Patreon project to reverse engineer the Apple M1 Mac to run on Linux natively. Now, he's got a Patreon. He's got £3.50 and £10.50 a month. He wants to earn enough so he can do it as a full-time job, basically. He's currently sitting on 966 patrons, so there's a lot of interest. Now, I think the interest with this guy is mainly because of his history. Did you ever have a Nintendo Wii?
Yeah, for about maybe 10 minutes. I'm one of those silly people who threw the thing, you know, I was playing like golf or something and ended up tossing the controller and ended up breaking that, and I just never replaced it. So,
yeah, well, this guy actually worked on jailbreaking the Wii and helping create the Homebrew channel, which was basically stick your ISOs on the drive and it reads them and plays them. He's also put Linux on the PS3. He's done that on the slim and up-to-date PS3 units. He's also ported Linux onto the PS4. So this guy, if anyone's going to do it, this guy is. So I think if anyone is interested, hop onto Patreon. I mean, I'll probably have this Apple M1 in about, 12 years when I can actually afford it.
You can buy it on eBay for really cheap, yeah.
But it'll be absolutely, I mean, if you saw the reviews of it, I mean, it's just a gorgeous machine. Mm-hmm. Obviously not power hungry with the ARM. Slightly cheaper than the usual premium point, I think. Still too high for me. But yeah, I mean, the only Apple thing I've really got's an iPad, but it's like Linux. It just works, doesn't it? It does the job. But with Linux on this M1, it'd just be phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
How about yourself? What news is intriguing you?
All right, so there's a new Ubuntu remix out there called Ubuntu Web, and I just did a first look of it on a video yesterday on the podcast, and I actually didn't plan that. So I put this link in here ages ago. It's supposed to be a Chrome OS thing, but based on Firefox. But I was reading, I really lambasted this in the video that I did yesterday, but I read afterwards that the developer's like 10 years old, so I feel really bad about it. I mean, I was like, this is dumb. Why does this exist? Why is the developer wasting their time on this? It's really stupid. And then, like I said, apparently he's 10 years old. I mean, I read this on the internet. I have no clue if it's true or not, but I feel terrible. I'm not taking the video down because everything I said is still true. But
yeah. Sure. Fair play to the guy.
Say it again, Martin.
Fair play to the guy.
Yeah, well, he did the there's a Unity version that he's doing. He's doing something called the Unity Remix. Basically, it just uses Unity 7 for Ubuntu. So apparently he knows his stuff. But this web remix is basically just a GNOME version of Ubuntu with a GNOME with a couple extensions installed. And then a whole bunch of links to Firefox tabs that you have to sign into to some really shady, weird eCloud service. It's really, really weird. But I mean, the idea behind it is cool. I mean, it would be kind of awesome to have a really low powered version of Linux that runs on web technologies. It's just Firefox. I mean, Firefox tried to do this with Firefox OS, right? So it'd be cool to do that, but that's not what this is. So it was disappointing to me just a bit. But then, like I said, the guy's 10 years old, so maybe he'll do better. I mean, you got to learn somewhere.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Great future, definitely.
I mean, he already knows how to create a distro. I don't know how to do that. So, I mean, I couldn't create an ISO on my own if I had to, right? So.
I definitely couldn't burn an ISO back at the age of 10, put it that way.
That's about as far as I could get to. I could put it on a USB, but I couldn't actually create my own. Anyways, so if you're interested in it, you should. I got the links to both of those things in the show notes. So moving on to our main topic. Now, when I was still doing this show solo, I did five reasons why you should use Arch Linux. And I got some comments on that, you're such a Arch fanboy, and I didn't have a good comeback for that because I am indeed an Arch fanboy. So, Martin, you're an Ubuntu only kind of guy, right? Basically, your favorite distros tend to run be based on Ubuntu, yeah?
Yeah, and Debian, really.
Ubuntu and Debian, yeah. I'm the opposite. I don't like Ubuntu at all. So I thought that it would be interesting to talk a little bit about how the reputation of Arch has kind of transformed over the last 4 or 5 years into being something that, like, the whole I use Arch Linux, by the way, you know, like, it's some kind of badge of honor to wear, because I know I'm guilty of it, because, like, I'm proud to use Arch Linux, and it's dumb to be proud of what distro you're using, because it's not as if you had any hand in making it. I had a couple of videos here that I linked to. Basically, it was just saying that Luke's video is basically, here's the reason why you should use Arch Linux. I can't actually remember what the other video was, because like I said, this has been ages ago.
It was just one that I dropped in the notes. It was just Arch and Linux memes.
That's cool. I definitely have to take a look at this. Wait, is it in the wiki? All right, so I should probably not watch the video right in the middle of this, but that's hilarious. Go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, as you say, that you didn't build Arch Linux, but essentially you do, don't you, really?
Well, I mean, because it's so much harder to... When you install Ubuntu or something that's based on Ubuntu, you get in there, you get the Unity installer or whatever it's called, you know, you go through 6 steps, you know, you choose and enter your password and you're installed, right? It's not like that with Arch Linux. You have to jump through all these hoops. You have to use the TTY, you know, and it's pretty complicated. A new user, unless they're really, really good at following instructions and have used a TTY before in the past, probably can't do it. So it gives you this sense of pride that you're at least smart enough to have installed Arch Linux, and then you have to look and you find someone who's never installed Arch Linux, and you have to look down on them because they're obviously so stupid they can't do it. I mean, that's obviously the case, right? I mean, it's silly because that's not really the case, but it's because I think it's because the if Gentoo was more popular, you'd probably have this same kind of thing, because you have to compile your own kernel, and that's not something that a noob could do. That installation process, I think, is what has led to the entitlement of Arch Linux users, for at least for the some, you know, in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the Arch way, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a hard way, let's face it. I suppose you do get a better understanding exactly how Linux does work. I'm guessing. I mean, I'll just plug in just get whatever distro I want to run up. I don't have to type any command lines or things like that. But then again, you get your system set up exactly how you want it. I mean, I've tried it before and I've just thought, no, because it literally is a hard way. I'll just find a nice release that's not full of loads of packages that I'll never ever use it, and just stick to that. So, I mean, yeah, Arch users probably do look down on other users for not reading the effing manual and things like that. But it's going back to tribalism, isn't it? At the end of the day, I mean, everyone thinks their distro is better than someone else's and recommends their distro. I don't particularly like the fact that Arch users will recommend Arch, because I'd only ever recommend that to probably... you wouldn't recommend it to anyone that's never used Linux at all. I mean, if there was high up in IT and knew their stuff, then possibly, if they knew bits and pieces and was quite happy on the command line.
But I'd agree with that for vanilla Arch, but I mean, Arch-based distros maybe not so much, because
Manjaro
is, you know, kind of set up for new users. But even then, rolling distros in general kind of should shy away from new users because of all the, you know, because things do break, right? I mean, and if you're not interested or willing to put in that investment towards, you know, solving things when things are broken. Because when I first started using Linux, I wasn't really invested in fixing things. When something broke, I just switched to a new distro. I mean, yeah. I was like, oh, you know, there's a problem with this thing I'm using, so I'm just going to go to Ubuntu, or I'm going to go to, Solus or whatever. But I don't do that. I think now that I've used Linux more for longer, I'm more interested in solving those problems. But you're definitely right. That is my distro is better than your distro. And what's really interesting, though, Martin, is that the Arch Linux users can look down on each other based on their knowledge, right? So if you have if you've used the Arch Linux for ages, but you still have to ask a question, and you didn't happen to go through and look at the Arch Wiki, you're in so much trouble, because they're obviously going to be very condescending about pointing you towards the documentation.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned Manjaro. I've just checked Distro Watch. Manjaro's gone up to number 2. So I've got MX Linux number 1, Manjaro number 2, and Mint, and then Pop OS. So, I mean, by the uptake to Manjaro, it's getting ever popular, especially to knock Mint off number 2.
Yeah, it'd been. I feel like I saw Manjaro at like number 1 for a while, like a couple of years ago.
Right.
But I could be. That could be just in my brain. I mean, I could be completely making that up.
Maybe it's a case with all the troubles they had internally, it just dropped down a bit, and it's easily forgotten about.
That and
bits and pieces in tech, isn't it?
It is. It's not as bloated as Arco. Arco is my favorite Arch-based distro, but Manjaro has a certain aesthetic that kind of, I don't know, it doesn't appeal to everybody. That green and, you know, weird stuff, and then choosing which desktop environment you want to use, so it's a little bit... I don't know. It's not quite as upfront as like Ubuntu or whatever. Like you download Ubuntu, you're getting Ubuntu. I mean, they have different flavors, but if you're a new user and you download something called Kubuntu, you're not really thinking you're downloading Ubuntu. You're thinking you're downloading Kubuntu. You think it's something completely separate. I mean, because chances are you don't know what the difference is. It's just I feel like somebody reviewed a Debian-based version of, a version of Debian that was running some different init system, some different than systemd the other day, and they were claiming like they were reviewing it as if some new user was going to come in and it was called Devon, something like that, Linux. Basically, the person who was reviewing it said that I'm going to review this as if it's a brand new to Linux users, like. Come on. First of all, the discovery on that thing, I mean, you'd have to be really deep down the rabbit hole of Google to find this minimalistic version of Debian. Chances are, if you're a new user, you're not going to find Arch, really. You're not going to find Manjaro. You're going to Google what's the best Linux distro for new users, and they're going to point you towards Ubuntu or Mint, right?
Yeah.
So, that was completely off topic, but I promise I won't look down on you.
No, carry on.
Have you ever installed like vanilla Arch Linux on a system, Martin? I mean,
I think when I'd started up, I thought, oh, let's have a look at this Arch business. They seem to be far superior according to what's wrote down, and I just thought, sod that, just put something else, and I thought, I can't be arsed going through all that as a new user anyway, using the command line. Yeah, we all say, oh, don't copy command lines from the internet, but you've still got to do it to get started. But Arch, I just thought, no, I'll just stick to the user-friendlier distros and type in the odd commands when needed. But like I say, I'm a GUI guy. You're a command line guy, so
I definitely am. Yeah, but the thing is, I've installed Arch Linux successfully one time, exactly once, and it was good. It was fun. It made me feel proud of myself. But since then, I've realized that I'm just much too lazy to do it. So, I mean, when I have to reinstall on my main computer, I just use Arco or, I'd use Manjaro or some kind of, because I'm always going to be on an Arch-based distro. I prefer the AUR. I can't stand PPAs. I can't stand snaps. So I'm going to use Arch, but I'm going to use an Arch-based distro that has an easy to install, you know, installer. So that's just me being completely lazy.
I mean, the Arch user repository, I mean, that's not monitored, is it?
No,
it's... I could upload anything, essentially. I could do a program. Here you go. I mean, obviously, some of the guys will spot it or spot some sort of malicious script and things like that. But I'm quite happy with my current Debian setup of knowing that that's whatever I'm, if I'm just browsing through or Synaptic or whatever, I'm pleased to know that I'm not going to download anything that's going to malware or damaging or some sort of keylogger. I mean, that's one thing that I just can't see the AUR. I mean, obviously, it's a superb help to yourself and God knows how many packages on there, but they've got bloody...
I got to defend my AUR, man.
Tens of thousands. Go on, then. Defend it.
All right, so you're right about Snaps. Snaps is... It comes from a proprietary store. The Snap store is proprietary. It's closed source, so they monitor that stuff. But Snaps are fairly new, and a lot of things still come from random PPAs on the internet, and those are not monitored. Those are just like the AUR. You get those. You go to a website like you're on Windows and find a PPA that you want to install of a program, and you know that's those aren't. I mean, that could be just random people too. So I mean,
yeah. If you come out of if you go on the web, obviously you're going to find something that may well damage your system. But I will usually use unless it's a new package that I've read about or heard about. I will use currently I'm using Discovery on the KDE, but I just installed Synaptic.
Yeah, Discovery's bad.
I love
Plasma. Plasma's one of probably if I didn't use a desktop environment, I would definitely use Plasma. But Discovery is so. In my brief time using Ubuntu the other day, I was using the Ubuntu store, and it's like a fork of GNOME software. It's gotten so much. It's so good. I mean, it looks like an actual
it's an actual storefront.
Yeah. And then, you know, you log into Plasma and the Discovery looks like it's been like 5 or 6 years ago. It hasn't made hardly any changes at all.
I will agree with that. It's not the as visually pleasing as everything else they do. I mean, obviously, you could drop into your games, your internet and things like that. But I'll give it to GNOME and various other stores that, once you load up the store, nice and pretty. Yeah, a couple of applications that they favour at the start, but it just overall a nice experience.
Yeah, everyone seems to agree that Elementary OS has the best looking storefront.
All right.
I have so many problems with Elementary OS. We should do a different show on that just so I can rant about how much I hate it. I'm very, very grumpy. Lately,
whilst we're on the subject of stores, with Arch, do you not get sick? I mean, blah blah blah, bleeding edge, this that and whatever. Do you not get just overwhelmed by the amount of updates that you do get through?
No, I just do updates once a week and I'm good.
You just do it once a week.
Yeah, I have it set via a cron job. You got to remember, I'm nerd at heart here. And I do things in the terminal, so I set up a cron job for this thing, and you know it just runs once a week at midnight, and it will update, and then it will restart the computer. It's just a little script that I wrote. It's not something that happens automatically, but.
So you've never got anything flashing up. You've got updates.
Nope.
Things like that, it's all taken care of. Oh, that's not too bad.
No, see, it's not like Ubuntu. Like Ubuntu, like if you don't do the updates, it'll do a little pop up once every month. It's like once a month or something. Like, it's not like Windows. Like, oh my God, you have an update. I'm restarting your computer. Oh, you're doing something important. I don't care. I'm restarting anyways. Screw you. As you can tell, I'm using Windows. I hate it. I'm sitting here looking.
Don't say that because you'll have a reboot soon.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. It's because I haven't done software updates on this in probably like 4 or 5 months. It's horrible. It's probably screaming at me in the background. I'm just trying to ignore it.
Yep.
Like Arch won't tell you at all if it you have updates. You'd actually have to go out and install a specific package to warn you about updates. Otherwise, you just do it whenever you want to do it. Now, granted, the longer you wait, the more likely you are to have like conflicting packages or something. So that's the reason why I do it once a week. And I've been doing that for I've had this install of Arca, which is just basically Arch, for probably 5 months now. Just and I haven't had a single problem.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Arch users. I mean, you carry on testing that software, so when it comes to me, it's nice and ready.
I will continue to be your guinea pig, yes.
Yeah, you keep testing that software.
I will take one for the team. All right, let's jump into apps of the week. Martin, your app of the week.
Right, it's an app that I possibly use most frequently, to be fair. Balina Etcher. Now, this is for Windows and Linux. It's an app image, and I use it just, like I say, flashing ISOs to USB or my eMMC module for my Pinebook Pro. Works well, hides your physical drives to save any mistakes. Quite happy with that. Whenever I log into, I'll always bring up Balina Etcher instead of using the onboard one. That's my app of the week, to be fair. Probably one of the main apps I do go to for installing ISOs and things like that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever used Balina at all?
When I'm lazy, I will in fact do it, yes.
It's nice and easy, isn't it?
That probably came across as me calling you lazy, Martin. That's not
No, really, no, no.
That's not what
Carry
I meant.
On.
I just meant that I prefer just using DD.
Gosh, no.
I know it's dangerous, but I live on the edge of insanity, and if you don't risk ruining your entire hard drive every time you want to burn an ISO, what's the fun in living?
About four clicks and I've got my ISO sorted. Thank you. I'll stick to Balina Etcher, but that's my picker. How about yourself?
IF, the input file, OF, the output file, and then, you know, status equals progress, and you know whatever. It's just, you know, all right. So my pick, I'm one of those people who like to play at being organized. I'm not really organized, but I like to find tools that supposedly will help me be organized and call it a day. But I've recently started, like I said, I've started doing a whole bunch of videos for the YouTube channel, and yeah. I've been trying to do some. I originally started out just completely winging those videos. I mean, probably could tell. I would just sit there and babble and ooh and oh my god, and I lost my place, and it was bad, and they're still not good. But they're getting better because I went through and started actually writing some, you know, taking notes and making sure I was prepared for these videos beforehand.
Yeah.
And the tool I've been using to kind of schedule videos and make scripts and organize things is an app called Notion. It's a web app. It has native apps for Mac OS and Windows, but it doesn't have a native app for Linux. But somebody took the web version and put it in a container, and they called it Lotion. Lotion. Very clever. It's obviously free. It's not open source because it's basically like an Electron wrapper over a proprietary piece of software. But there's some there. I mean, I couldn't even go through and tell you all the things that Notion can do. You know, it can do tables and databases and, you know, all sorts of things. It's kind of like a very souped up version of like Evernote or something. But, you know, it does so much more. It's kind of awesome. And it's also free to use. I mean, you can go through and use it as much as you want. They used to limit you to like 1,000 notes or whatever, but now it's completely unlimited. So thinking about pointing us towards using it for the show notes, because it's really awesome, and it'll allow us to kind of put them all in one place. But we'll talk about that later.
Would you be able to link that to your Android phone?
Yeah, Notion has an Android app. Yep. And like I said, it's a fairly good Android app because it does everything the desktop app would do. So, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Oh, I've got a joke for you, actually.
All right, I'm up for that.
How do you know that a person is an Arch Linux user?
I'm not sure.
He will tell you about it.
It's 100% true. I definitely use Arch, by the way. I need a t-shirt and a mug. You can't use Arch without a t-shirt and a mug, so I'm gonna have to do that. Anyways, that is it for us this week. What is our topic for next week? I'm not even sure. Next week,
I think it's Linux hardware, laptops.
Yeah, we're going to talk about System76 and hardware vendors. Cool. That should be fun. We will both talk about hardware that neither of us can afford.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, actually.
Like, neither one of us have ever had a System76 device, I'm pretty sure, because they're like $3,000. When I was looking for a new computer, I was like, I'd like a System76, and then I went through and built one. I was like, holy, yeah. I can't afford that. Horrible. No, anyways,
they're definitely nice.
They're awesome. I just can't. Way too expensive. Anyways, we'll talk about that in much more detail next week, and we'll see you then. Thanks for watching.
Excellent. Cheers. Bye bye then.